This is a HeadGum Podcast. Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast. Welcome back to Eldermorn, everybody.
Eldermorn.
I'm your Dungeon Master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
A cursed feller brawling in a cellar, Henry Hogfish.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was so cute.
You are a feller. You're absolutely a feller.
Big feller energy over here, yeah.
Emily Axford.
A cursed fella brawling in a cellar. Via Bulginia.
What's happening? Is that
and
just like...
And another one, but it was so cute. I just wanted to hear it again.
Artistry, wow.
Incredible that you both wrote the exact same one.
No, I confess. I just thought it was so good. It needed another one.
Oh, okay.
An encore.
And then, of course, Caldwell Tanner.
Oh, jeez. A cursed fellas chillin' in a cellus.
Wait, yes!
Wait.
That's it! That's the intro!
Bravo!
We did it!
Wow!
We did it!
I was gonna say cello. I should have said cello.
You nailed
but
it.
But cellus. We're going with cellus.
Okay.
I can't believe we peaked on campaign 2, episode 23.
Yep.
Amazing.
That's it. Jordan, we Jordaned it. This is the last dance, everyone. The last episode of NADPOD. Yep.
Game 6.
Is it possible to do 3 slam dunks at once?
Yep.
I don't know if it is, but we're going to have to check the rules on it.
Air Tanner.
Feels good. Feels like the energy is right going into this episode.
That's right. Okay, everybody, let's go ahead and do a little recap. So last time, you eyed a ghostly dragon guarding the ruins of Zelboldar 3. Using your Guardians of the Grove book, you quickly deduced that this monster was not an undead drake, but rather a collection of hundreds of deep folk ghosts projecting as a single entity. It was clear from the spirit's angry shouts that it held the Scrappers responsible for the destruction of Zelboldar 3. You attempted to sneak through the ruins to find Grez before the dragon did, but after no luck locating her, you attempted an attack. Things quickly went south with some insanely bad rolls from Fia.
Mm. Deep south. Very, very far south.
Very far
no
south.
No need to finger people in this, you know?
Finger?
Henry being restrained in fear and Zerk falling down a fissure. You all were forced to flee.
It's more of a chalice, actually.
You were forced to flee and just narrowly escaped by helping each other reach an abandoned house where a few Scrappers were hiding out. When you joined them in their basement hiding spot, the fellers in the cellars, you saw
nice.
that, yes, I had that written too. Insane. Crazy that we all
wild.
Went for that. It's just
parallel
really
thinking.
It just was so nice. So nice we had to hear it twice, you know?
So nice. We had to hear it 10 times.
Yeah. We had to hear it thrice.
Yeah. You guys followed them to their basement hiding spot and saw that they were more or less holding Grez hostage. After hearing what the dragon had to say, Grez had backed out on their deal to kill it, and the Scrappers were trying to coerce her to help. Caught in the middle, you questioned Ramhelm guy, who was clearly lying about his lack of involvement in the destruction of Zelboldar 3. Ramhelm then gave you an ultimatum. to help them or die, and the third mates reached for their weapons as the scrappers did as well, and that's where we are now. Everyone, go ahead and roll initiative.
Gladly.
Get ready for Heller and a Cellar.
Okay. How long were you sitting on that one, Caldwell?
Not long enough. I could have used it in my intro.
18 for fear.
I got a 19.
My dice, I don't like the roll I got. Can I re-roll it?
Of course. Sure. Yeah, that's how D&D works.
Yeah, don't you remember how many times I did that last episode?
That's a 12. A 12 for Zerk.
That's what Colonel Shift is. Emily actually has nothing mechanically that lets her do that. She says, please, my husband, let me roll again.
It's a D&D mulligan.
I say, please, before we make love and in honor of this, you will give me a new roll.
Insane, that doesn't work when I do it.
Yeah, we try. Murph cuts it out, but we do try.
And I just really angrily say, you're not my wife.
Murph, we'll give you fellatio and the salatio.
You're not my wife. All right, so the extremely injured third mates, with the help of Grez, launch into battle against these three scrappers in this dark, dark basement. You see parts of it have collapsed. There's rubble on either side of you. You guys all go for your weapons as you launch in. Henry, you are first.
Okay. I'm going to dig one end of my Gizarm into the ground and try to stab up into the goat helm guy.
Gizarm!
Gizarm! I will disarm you with my giz arm.
The jizz arm.
The jizz arm.
Is that a guy's arm?
It's a jizz arm,
it's
actually.
It's a jizz arm. Have some
Let's
respect.
Let's absolutely not make that a thing.
The minute you said it was too late.
Oh, my goodness. It's interesting when we're recording, and I already know I'm getting edited out.
Make an attack with your pole arm. Jake.
Pole arm, right.
Almost just as bad.
It's a 19 to hit.
19 does hit Ramhelm guy.
Great.
My name's Ingus, by the way. You keep calling me Ramhelm guy.
I assume, but I didn't want to just say your name.
Is this really the time for introductions?
You never asked.
I'll introduce you to your dead body. That's a 24 to hit the second time.
Yeah, both hit.
His name is written on the back of his armor, which is kind of cute. It's like a jersey.
17 damage total, and now I'm going to unleash Shank and try to shank him from the other side.
Nice.
Ah, I was killed.
Yes, you were. Dirty 20 for Shank.
Dirty 20 hits.
And Shank got a whopping 7 damage.
The
D12 is not being kind to me at the moment, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you see that as these dudes have like fierce-looking weapons. Like the two kind of guard guys who are holding up Grez with their swords have these broadswords that look like big serrated knives. And then Ingus has like this big broadsword. Fierce weapons, but they're kind of slow to get going. You guys get the drop on him super quick. You whip the guy's arm around real quick, stab into him. Shank kind of flanks him, stabs him on the other side.
Flank by Shank. You know what? I don't think I used my action surge, actually.
You have not used an action surge yet.
I'm going to go ahead and do that on Ramhelm Ingus.
You could just, it's just Ingus.
Ingus von Ranhelm. Got it.
Yeah. I really, Ramhelm Ingus is hard to say. I don't know why you insist we call it.
I'm okay with Ingus von Ramhelm. That actually sounds pretty cool.
Ingus von Ramhelm. So that is a 22 and an 18.
Both hit. Wow.
Oh, baby. And that is 21 damage.
Good Lord.
Nice.
Yeah, you take Ingus from looking like a big, healthy dude to a not-so-healthy dude. Just instantly surround him. Shadow on one side, Hank on the other side, just stabbing into him before Ingus can even get his sword up. He's been slashed a bunch of times.
Awesome. And just to confuse him a little bit further, I'm going to swap places with Shank. It doesn't really mechanically help, but I want him to be miffed.
Wow, it is like line dancing. What a show.
You guys switch places. He makes a confused grunt. Ugh.
Perfect. Exactly what I wanted to happen.
Fia, that's your turn.
Okay, so I had jumped. I had grappled someone's weapon.
So that's an initiative. So if you want to do that as your turn, you can do that.
Okay. I have grappled this man's weapon, and I say, actually, I've sized it up. Your weapon sucks. And I attack.
Excuse you.
24 to hit.
24 hits.
I'll go for the Ramhelm.
Okay. Ingus von Ramhelm.
13 damage, and I will bonus attack him again.
Wow.
That's also going to hit 25.
Jesus.
And that is another 12 damage.
Good God. Yeah, you guys absolutely beat the shit out of Ingus. He is...
I look at the one whose weapon I grappled and I say, see? It's like, you know, I'm like kind of like, actually mine is better.
That is Ingus's turn. Ingus is incredibly hurt, but still hanging on. Ingus is going to shout to the other guys, all right, phalanx formation!
Oh, and you God. See this is so embarrassing for them.
The two
careful,
dudes.
Careful, there's a lot of rubble. This formation sounds complicated.
It's actually not that complicated at all.
You see the two dudes...
so light in the footwork.
With chainmail, put their
like a human pyramid?
Shields out to guard. And then Ingus is going to go ahead and take a slash at Fia. Mm. 23 to hit Fia.
That hits. I have nothing to shield.
Okay. Oof. 11 damage on the first hit.
I am down to zero.
Okay.
Oh. As I go to pass out, I say, I did more damage than you.
Henry goes, oh, like it's a rap battle.
These two scrapper guards put their shields up, and Ingus stabs from behind them into Fia. Fia drops.
One down. Crescent moon formation,
shouts to them. And they do like a stupid move where they start to surround Hank on one side.
You're going to trip on one of those loose boards there.
And Ingus is going to go ahead and take a crack at Henry.
It's clear you spent hours practicing this.
26 to hit.
Yeah, that'll do it.
11 damage to you.
Okay.
But is also going to use his martial advantage from the crescent moon formation to do an
enough with the formations
to do an additional 12 damage, so 23 total.
Yeah,
are you okay?
Right. No.
Oh, okay.
Are you up?
I'm up, but yeah, you know,
the crescent moon formation is absolutely destroying him.
I've got 2 HP.
Okay, Zerk, that is your turn.
Okay, Zerk shouts, distant Zerk formation, and backs up as far as possible.
Brave.
And actually, can I, like, gesture or wink at Grez, or maybe, like, try and communicate with Grez just to be like, can you help my friends at all? Do you have some capability?
Yes, of course. I'm just a little slow on the jump.
Understood.
I got a 4. I'm sorry.
We were all impressed by the crescent moon formation. I understand.
Yes.
Like, really kind of talked us into this.
But you foresaw that 4, right?
I foresaw the 4. I foresaw
right
the crescent moon formation.
Tell me their next formation, please.
Because they shouted it.
I see. I foresaw it too.
So yeah, I think Zerk backs up as far as he can. You said that Ingus was looking pretty hurt.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm gonna try and shoot at Ingus.
Great.
With a firebolt.
Cool.
There we go. That is gonna be a 25 to hit.
Super hits.
Beautiful. 2d10s plus 4 because I'm an alchemist. 12 damage.
Shoot him with this firebolt. This, like, red beam goes through the shields of the crescent moon formation and then explodes as it hits Ingus. And he is on death's door.
You just got eclipsed.
That is
very good.
Scrapper guards.
Zerk is extremely confident when he's far away.
You see on the scrapper guards' turns, the two dudes, you hear Ingus shouts,
release crescent moon formation. Switch to... Chase far away guy formation.
They've got a name for everything.
And you see the two scrapper guards inelegantly just rush at you.
Fuck.
And they're both going to do the thing that Craggle did where they go, bleh! And turn into giant versions of themselves.
It's cramped down here already. Be careful.
Instantly cracks their heads on a beam.
We usually make fun of people for this.
First attack on Zerk, God, is a 25 to hit?
That will hit, unfortunately.
Okay, 16 damage to you, Zerk.
Oh, boy. Zerk is also down.
Okay, Zerk, you drop.
Why did we do this?
I don't know.
For the record, I voted. I told Grez. You this is not Fia's day.
I'm really sorry that I got a 4, everyone. Everyone relax.
They only get one
did
attack.
Did not foresee this coming.
The other guy is going to go ahead and take an attack on Grez and does 15 damage to Grez.
Oh, fuck.
But she's okay.
Great.
All right, on Grez's turn, she is going to go ahead and cast Mass Healing Word.
Yeah, baby!
Woo!
And is going to heal everybody for 10 HP.
Nice. So we're back up.
So you guys all pop back up. That is Henry's turn.
Okay. So I am going to, one, move Shank kind of near Zerk, just far away shank position.
Okay.
Formation.
Right.
I'll take two attacks on IVRH.
Okay.
That's Ingus von Ranhelm. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the two crew, but also a 19.
19 hits.
13 damage.
Henry, finish him.
Wow. Yes. I promised to introduce myself to your dead body, so the name's Henry Hogfish. Nice to meet you.
Wait. Guy's arm!
Shake the hand on my guy's arm.
Out of the whelm and into the guy's arm.
You stab this dude with a hook, kind of press him up against the wall there, throw him to the side. He goes down. Fia, that is your turn.
Okay. I look at who looks weaker of these big guys.
These two big guys both look the same. They look like...
Do they have their names on their armor as well?
First off, that's a you thing. Do they have the thing that I invented?
No. It's all written on the back of their name.
Armor. Yeah. No. Yeah. They both have Crag Helm written on the back, so you assume, you know, that's their last name and that they're twins.
Oh.
Okay, twins. Well, that's going to be shout out to the two crew.
Okay.
Oof.
And I will bonus action attack again. Okay, that will hit. I hit him for 12 damage.
Seriously, rock this dude. These guys are not as tough as Ingus. That is would-be Ingus. Ingus is twitching on the ground. That is Zerk's turn.
Cool. I'm just going to go for the Crag Helm that Fia hit already.
Great.
Nat 20!
Good lord!
Yes!
Henry fans himself.
Zerk manages to get even further back somehow. 27 damage.
Dude... That is exactly how much HP this dude had left. Zerk, yes. Go ahead and finish him.
Okay. You see, a little crawl space door. Like, one of those tiny doors that you see in a basement. And you're like, what's up with that creepy door? And you see just Zerk's hand just pokes out from that thing. And he just blasts a firebolt right at this guy.
Yeah.
And he does it so that the twin can see it happening.
Oh, God. Yeah, you see this dude. Yeah, you, disappear into the rubble. This dude goes to follow you and is just met with the blast of this powerful cantrip. This dude is toast, just instantly blown up by this fireball. There is one dude left. On his turn, you see he just drops his sword and he goes, I'm out. I'm done.
Okay.
Probably the right choice.
Go, leave.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you.
Wait a second. I think we need a fairy promise to make sure you don't do anything. Okay? You're going to say whatever we say to you?
Absolutely. Whatever you want.
Okay. You have to go back to the scrappers, run for office, and initiate reform in the behavior, in the imperialistic behavior of the scrappers.
And call your campaign Crescent Moon Reformation.
You want me to run for office? They don't really do that.
Yes. You're going to be the reform candidate, and you're going to undo what you have done to all these
population. I mean, if you feel more comfortable calling it a coup, that's fine.
Okay.
That's okay.
So I just have to run for election. I don't have to win, right?
You have to promise that you'll never hurt anyone ever again.
What about
that?
Come on.
Run for
what about emotionally? What if I'm just having
you
a bad day?
You can emotionally hurt people because in politics you're going to need to do this.
Right.
You're going to have to.
It's cutthroat.
It's a cutthroat. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Sometimes you have to make the unpopular decision.
There you go. It sounds like you're ready.
Can I stabilize his twin, by the way? Can I cast Spare the Dying on his twin?
Yeah. I'll say, yeah, you like...
Get the twin involved in this, too, because we need to make sure that they are not going to be bad.
Oh, you could be running mates.
Crag Helm.
You're going to need a campaign manager.
Okay.
You need a campaign manager. Somebody needs to find the office space. Somebody needs to get organized the door knockers, all right? Because it's boots on the ground.
Spritel, please make this an actual fairy promise. We need to make sure that they will never hurt anyone.
Yeah, Spritel, are you feeling up to it?
Spritel, buzzes around, comes out of Zerk's pocket, whips around this dude who promises to try to bring about reform in the Crux.
Wow.
And also never hurt anyone physically again.
Emotionally
is fine, but not in a manipulative way, like in an accidental way. You can reflect and be like, I guess I hurt somebody, I was being selfish, but not like go into it, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm writing all this down for Spritel.
I can't believe the Crux is about to have its first twin mares.
You see these dudes make this fairy promise to you.
Wait, can we also make sure that they don't tell Hutar anything we don't want them to tell Hutar?
That's their campaign slogan.
The campaign slogan
don't tell Hutar. This was our idea and no one else's. have never been Fia Boginia, Dr. Zirk, and Mr. Henry.
It's wordy, but it's got a message.
Right on. It's a catchy slogan. I think we're going to make a lot of change. I don't think that this is also a death sentence. As soon as we start stalking around town, I think we're just going to be murdered, but that's better than being murdered right now. Thank you. Thank you for sparing my twin. He's a little toasty. He and I are just going to go ahead and get out of here.
All right. Okay. You've got my vote.
I'm going to have to hear every side, but yeah, I'm still weighing my options.
Just vote for Hutar.
That's true. There might be a better reform candidate, so you don't actually have our votes.
You see this dude way in over his head, grabs his brother who pops up once he's like stabilized, and the two of them kind of help each other out of the basement. They get out of there. And they're more scared of you than they are of the dragon at this point. And you hear them kind of run off.
Cool.
In fact, as they run off, you just hear, like, deep in the distance, "Scrappers, you think you can get away? I don't think your politics have changed for real."
Oh, they're running. They're running.
Oh, they're running.
They're definitely running. So the dust has cleared. You hear these two guys run off. You've got Ingus here. Henry just finished him off. Grez kind of dusts off her armor. You see she's got like a breastplate under a cloak. And you see she goes, "Sorry about that. Sometimes my mind is quicker than my body."
You zone out a little bit. I get it.
No, I didn't. I didn't zone out. I did the opposite of zoning out. I was zoned in. Just
too zoned in.
What?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was zoned out. What's going on?
Now that is zoned out. That is your body moving faster than your mind.
Zerg is looking at a little bug in the corner now.
Right. Okay. It is good to meet you all. I foresaw our meeting, though like all of my visions, it was cryptic. I saw three floating blades joining me here in this ruin. At first, I thought it could have symbolized these three scrappers. Points to Ingus, who's slowly sliding down the wall. But it is clear now that we were all meant to help each other.
What do you see in your vision? We have released two of them. And I want to know if this is the correct move to do. Have we released them to just do more harm to this world? We try to be very particular in our wording, but are we misled to have released them?
You hear the sounds of the ghost dragon furiously stomping along, either actively tearing them apart or chasing them.
A short-lived bit it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
You hear Grez go, "Either they won't make it back, or I believe they don't have enough influence to do any real lasting damage. Of any of the three here, I believe he was the most dangerous," and gestures with her staff to Ingus.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I take the head off his head and put it on my head. So I have two little horns, but I also have two little tusks.
It's like a mirror image. That is so, it's perfectly symmetrical. My God.
Via von Ranhelm.
As you say that, my posture straightens with pride.
She kind of tilts her head and looks at you guys and goes, "How did you know that I would be here?"
Luskar sent us to look for you. He said that you were looking for some sort of sentient horror. Is that what the dragon was? It seemed like it was technically sentient, but maybe just, I don't know, sentient in the way that like a bunch of guys at a soccer match who are screaming can be.
I don't know. I made him do a wisdom saving throw and he excelled massively. So I definitely wise.
She nods and she goes, "Yes, the ghost dragon is sentient. But I don't know that that was the sentient horror that I had envisioned. My visions come to me as messages from Sienna, the Autumn Fairy of Wisdom. The visions I get are cryptic. I suspect that some, if not all, of the great fairies have some kind of pact that stops them from interfering with the mortal world too much. And as such, many of my visions are open to interpretation. The horror that I saw was less up for interpretation. This was someone who had
a human body with rotting skin. It wasn't a spirit.
Okay, so as scary as that thing was, it wasn't the thing we were looking for.
You see, she nods.
Describe it to me as best you can, and I will look through my books.
Well, the horror had some kind of studded leather armor on, wearing all black. The face was blurry, but they had long black hair and rotting skin coming off of their hands.
Sounds cute. Mm.
And Fia, go ahead and give me a history check.
24.
Yeah.
You hear she goes into like a little bit more detail about what she saw, just describing the physical appearance and the movement of this thing. It sounds like this horror that she saw had the look of a zombie, but she didn't really get a good look at its face. It was sort of obscured, but was wearing armor and did not shamble, like moved like a regular humanoid. But had sort of like zombified skin. And you do see that there is a horror called a white, W-I-G-H-T. That is basically like an advanced zombie. But nothing in this book says anything about it being sentient or anything, or being good or neutral or whatever. Like, these monsters all work for the Reaper and just kind of do his bidding, and that's usually just to kill the living or wipe out villages or whatever. So physically sounds like a white.
Almost more like a construct.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be a white, but the idea that she would have this vision to come see this random kind of advanced zombie seems strange.
Okay.
Yeah.
I relay this all to her.
Yes, it is a great mystery. I don't know where this horror would have come from. I don't know if Luskrar told you about the lost city of Zelboldar, the original one, not these outposts.
He touched on it briefly, but, yeah. You know, please expand.
It was said to have been destroyed a long time ago, but we have never found any ruins. It is... It's been passed down to us in writings and in oral traditions, but no one has ever found it. So I have reason to pursue any mystery in the mountain that could lead us back to Zelboldar, and I believe Sienna might be leading me there.
This ancient city, Luskrar touched on how grand it was. Are there arts and practices that were perhaps lost there as well, in addition to the city itself?
Considering that we haven't been able to find any physical proof of it, I wouldn't doubt that we have lost much, much knowledge from it.
I noticed that you're a bit of a healer yourself, and I'm always looking for new methods and ways to heal and help. So if this search leads us closer to this missing city and also just helps us, you know, keep the deep folk and the people of Eldermorn safe, then I'm all for it.
That's very noble of you, but also I believe Sienna may have brought us together for other reasons. Is there anything I can help you with?
Zerk kind of nudges Henry.
I don't want to make this about me, but I'm afflicted with a light fairy curse. Just ever so slight.
It's actually a fairy blessing. I've been around it for a while. I think it might be a blessing.
You know, it could be. Yeah. Why don't I tell you the details and you tell
Curses
me?
Curses often become blessings with the right attitude. Okay.
You got to take the boons with the banes.
All right, so Shank and I tell Grez the nature of the curse.
Yeah, so basically I do all the work. I get sent out dudes. I just get fucking eaten. And then this guy's walking around.
I just introduced you to a very nice shadow that Via summoned, didn't I? You just met someone very interesting.
I passed Via some popcorn.
I see who the true cursed one is.
I sense sparks, okay? Sparks between shadows? Who knew?
You relay to Grez all of the information that you guys have, that you know it's a spring fairy, that you keep coming back, that it is related to the sea in some way. And I'm going to have her do an insight check.
We wait for her to bring up Moria. We don't mention Moria.
It's the first thing out of Fia's mouth. Moria. She looks after the little crabs.
No, you haven't begun to grow a shell or anything, have you? Have you found
Henry
yourself?
Henry rips off his shirt. Am I covered in barnacles? Is there a barnacle back here?
Wait. I think it's just back me, man.
Okay, yeah, these are still poppable.
It's just the bag of holding. It's not a shell, I don't see.
This new plate mail, what is it if not a shell?
Oh, my God. Oh.
You see, she looks you up and down, but almost kind of like looking past you as if just like in deep, deep thought.
Have you read anything about Leonora, the patron fairy of navigators and storytellers?
Leonora.
She thinks about it and she goes, because what I'm hearing is a story without a proper ending.
Okay.
In all of your lives, you keep repeating the same mistakes.
Yeah. Running away, giving up.
Perhaps you need to find a different ending.
Okay.
So you're saying that all of Henry's past lives have been like rough drafts?
She nods.
Yeah. All bound for the waste paper bin.
But she goes, that being said, someone like Leonora would not just pick on you for no reason. It is likely that in some past life you asked for something. Perhaps you said that you would change, but you haven't yet.
I made another promise I couldn't keep. Maybe that was the first one.
And yet you have an opportunity. You're still here. You don't have to make the same mistakes again.
Okay. So I gotta try to stick this one out. Fia, Zerk, don't let me run away, okay?
Okay. Should we tie you to us or just...
If you couldn't run away from me if you tried, I'm faster than you.
That is true. She's also a better swimmer.
But only because the student excels the teacher.
I think you're stuck with us, man.
Okay.
You see, she goes, I'm sure as Blades, with the access to the knowledge that you have, you'll be able to summon Leonora if you are near the sea.
So if we get to the sea, I can ask Leonora about that promise that I made.
She nods.
I have another question.
She turns to Fia and cocks her head.
We are looking for Cyrenesis.
Fia, as you go to say that, the words do not come out of your mouth. Like, the skin just covers your lips. You try to say it, and you can't.
I'm so sorry. I am parched. I need something to drink in order to lubricate the words out of my mouth.
Yes, she was cursed by a very thirsty fairy.
Fia goes and hangs her head in shame in a cup of water.
You see,
Grez goes, you have made a fairy promise to keep a secret, but like Sienna, I'm sure you can tell me whatever it is you'd like to tell me in a different way.
Fia takes a big sip of water, throws the lemon out. She does not like citrus. And afterwards, she says, I'm looking for my girlhood best friend. I have not seen her in a long time, and we parted ways in, well, perhaps the most favorable outcome possible, but not good terms. Her name is Irina. If you wish, I have notebooks full of doodles of her beautiful face I can show you.
So that's who she's been drawing.
Fia, you show her some drawings of Irina. Fia, go ahead and give me a sleight of hand check. Do you think Fia practices drawing, or do you think she's like unpolished?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Okay,
she's
so we'll just do
much more a person with words.
A flat roll.
17.
Okay. Pretty good. It's amateurish, but it's pretty clear that Fia spends a lot of time like sitting in her train car doodling.
I draw it with the ashes from my teapot.
And you see, she looks at it and she goes, with your help, I may be able to help track her down. I can scry once a day. I can see if I can find her.
Oh, okay. That sounds pretty promising, eh, Fia?
Yes. That would be very helpful to me. I am just a nostalgic young girl thinking of my girlhood, wondering what happened to my Irina.
And who doesn't just want to reach out to an old friend, an old frame? Hell, you know, maybe you could use the scry on Izzy, actually.
It's true. You know what? Say what Mr. Henry wants. I walk into a corner.
No. You know, it's better I don't know. It's better I don't know. Protect me from myself.
She takes your hand, Fia, and goes,
If you are close to her, it will be easier with your help.
Okay, I will help in whatever way I can. I can picture her very vividly still. I don't know whether it is true or if I have made up a version of her, but she's still so strong in my mind.
Yeah, Fia, you have this strong, strong memory of this magical girl that you grew up with in this very unmagical place. Just this burst of color in this gray world. This young girl with the silver hair.
She is like a pressed flower in my mind.
And you picture Irina, and now that you are the protector of Serenesis, you have a strong connection to her, even more so than just being childhood best friends. And Grez does not know exactly why your connection is so strong. And based on kind of what she has told you so far, she's not a mind reader. She's just highly insightful. And she gets this, she's essentially a champion of a wisdom fairy who like sends her kind of cryptic things that she can use to help her and her people. Sophia, she takes your hand and you see she begins to cast a scry spell.
I think I'm like offering things she liked. She loved honey cakes, but she would never finish one. She always gave the rest to the birds. She had long silver hair that sometimes I would braid, but she didn't know how to braid her own hair. How funny is that? Sometimes I wonder, did you want me to braid your hair and that's why you never learned? And then I just chatter on about little memories.
Zerk laughs too hard because he's weirdly jealous of Fia's one other friend.
Such great memories. Ha ha ha.
I break the spell and look at Zerka and say, I will braid your hair if you let me.
Do it. Do it right now. French or bust.
That actually might help. That might take you to a place where you are closer to Irina.
Zerk, get over here.
No, Henry Hipcheck, Zerk out of the way. Do me first.
Fuck it. No.
Do me first.
Wait your goddamn turn.
I will not.
The most alpha Zerk's ever been.
Zerk, if you could hum the song Jeepers Creepers, We Love the Reaper, she would always hum that whenever I braided her hair.
Jeepers Creepers, We Love the Reapers. He will come when we are sleepers. You gotta watch out. Don't close your peepers. Uh-oh, here comes the reapers.
She said hum it, not sing it, you ass. Let me get the braid.
Stop! I'm so strong. Fuck!
I braid Mr. Henry's hair.
Jeepers, peepers.
Capitalizing on this moment of genuine friendship, Fia, you do have this kind of overwhelming nostalgia for back when you were with Irina. And Fia, go ahead and give me a wisdom check with advantage.
Okay. 17.
Close your eyes. Let's see if we can find her.
Fia really laboriously, like just with the sound of a creaking door, closes her lids.
Wow. A rare sight.
Your eyes close and you feel yourself in a split second, almost like you're flying over the entire world of Eldermorn. Just like flashes of different people. Like it feels like you're searching through a book. It's like you're searching through like a phone book for a name or something like that.
Cool.
You go through like the entire surface world. You go through like the frost barrens of the north. You feel like the wind whipping through your hair. It's almost like you're flying through super fast. You're going through...
I have only seen this in Atlas.
You're going through all of these cities and everything. You're going through the great capital city. You're going through West Precinct and its beautiful manors and its great lakes. You're going through East Precinct and then up into Innerborough, where you grew up, through all these like barren trees and everything, up through Outerborough, and kind of like these more like wild lands.
I turn my head away from the Innerborough area.
You turn your head from Innerborough and you whip through the mountains that you've just traveled to, like near where you are, and you feel yourself like zip through the mountains here. And then everything fades from being like very like real and kind of tactile and being like inside the cavern to being foggy all around you. Fia, go ahead and give me a perception check.
Just, I can braid your hair while Fia braids mine. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, well, if it's, as long as it's all equal, I'll braid your hair and Fia braids my hair.
As you guys argue, you see that these two are just like humming with energy as their eyes roll in the back of their head.
16.
You look out through the mist all around you in this cavern, and you see it looks kind of in a very similar shape to the ruins of Zelbuldar 3. Like a lot of like the rock formations are the same. And as far as location wise, you very much feel that you are near the same place. But you see that there is this like mist all around you and it's making everything foggy. And instead of ruins, you see buildings in the distance. Little like homes and buildings with little lights on inside. And you see the distant green glow, an outline of Arena. You just feel it. You do not see her close up. You feel that she is alive, and yet at the same time, she's in a place that you can't quite pinpoint. It feels like it doesn't exist. It feels like it's between here and another place or something. And then you flash back to reality.
Henry's hair is in a knot, too, so all hands on deck.
Henry and Zerk have rat-kinged each other.
Yeah.
Fia is like, she like kind of tries to like swim through the air. She's like, no, wait, Arena, she's here. I found her. Where is she? Where did she go? Where are the little houses with the little lights on and the little piece of green magic? It's here. It was here. It was here.
You see, Grez looks around and she looks rattled. Which, from the very little time you've known her, you can imagine it's a rare thing that this person who has all of these visions and everything is rattled. She goes, I saw it too. She's here, and yet she's not here. This mist we saw, it was similar in nature to the fog obscuring the face of the horror that I was supposed to meet with in my vision.
So, who is making the mist? Does she want the mist to be there?
I don't know. It would seem that your friend is close and yet out of our reach. But I sense a link between the sentient horror and your missing friend.
All right.
What? Like they're cut from the same magic? One controls the other?
Not necessarily. I can't be sure. But the mist felt the same. Perhaps they are just from the same place. I do not know.
Well, what if she... Could she be trapped by this horror?
Fia, it occurs to you that she could be trapped wherever she is.
She's trapped. Someone has found her and trapped her, but not chosen to kill her. This cannot be good at all.
Everything you've told us about Arena, there's a chance she's found some way to help this horror. Maybe that's why they're tied. This is the first horror that doesn't seem intrinsically tied to the Reaper. There's a chance that she's helping this horror and is shrouding herself away so the Reaper won't find her. We can't assume the worst, is what I'm saying.
You see, Grez nods and she goes,
I specifically felt that this, whatever this was not malevolent.
Okay, trapped but not malevolent.
Okay. Trapped could just be hunkered down, just in a fortress.
Yeah.
You can trap yourself.
True. People make traps of their own making.
All right, well, I love looking at traps, so I'm happy to go and investigate.
Yes, I think that we will make haste, but before this, I must take a long sleep.
Oh, I go behind Fia because it looks like she's about to fall backwards.
No,
oh,
geez. Before that even, I have several things to do. I
several.
Must summon what? Bukvar back. And then I also must arcane recovery to try to get a more powerful spell. All
right, well, could you first untie me and Henry?
I have braided your hairs together. I am sorry. It is a common sleepover mistake.
Yeah, you see, she was just like, while she was having the vision, tied you guys together.
This is why I have always kept my hair short, so that I did not accidentally braid it into Arena's.
I understand.
Okay.
Maybe one day we can all braid our hairs together.
Maybe this is our punishment for going at each other like that.
Maybe so. This is our get-along braid.
So, Fia, you go ahead and you ritual cast to bring Bukvar back. You see Bukvar flaps back to life.
Oh, miss, what did I miss anything good?
Fia, for a second, tries to wrap her tongue around another lie and says, oh, nothing, just another fantastic battle from Fia. You remember what I did to Olwyn? How I saved the day? It was pretty much like that.
You know that he knows when you need to be comforted, and he goes, oh, I'm sure you were a fantastic miss.
I nod along, and it makes Zerk nod as well.
I really lived up to the name of Blade. Excuse me, I have to go try to learn how to make bigger fire come from my hands.
Oh, while Fia is doing her arcane recovery, can I watch this process?
You want to watch me do arcane recovery? It's just reading.
I'm just curious about how you're able to regain some of your magical energy even while you're at the point of exhaustion, and I'd love to kind of study the process.
Well, magic is creative, and books are like collecting a bunch of information with which you can then be creative. So there's the receiving and there's the expressing. When you have expressed too much, you turn to the book and you receive.
So it's like a feedback loop.
I don't know what that is, no.
Say no more. Zerk goes into a corner and starts tinkering.
Fia goes and does this arcane recovery.
I am going to try to get a fireball.
Okay.
So I got 15.
15 is going to pass because it's a DC 13 for, it's a third level spell, right? Fireball?
Yeah.
Great. So you wrangle Philip.
Oh, shit.
And you're able to learn fireball.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
Is there anything else anybody would like to do before going to bed?
I would like to call Grez over to like this little impromptu workstation I've set up.
Sure.
So basically what I'm doing is I'm making an infusion that is able to basically do a quick burst of arcane recovery. It's like an alchemist ability called Spell Refuel Ring.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So I just want to like get Grez to basically check my work.
Okay, great.
So basically what I did is I put an entire book inside this ring. And then when I press this little button on the outside of the ring, it stabs me and it gives me basically a shot of magical adrenaline. So it's like I'm reading a book really fast with my body.
You're speed reading.
Yeah.
I understand many things, but I don't know if I fully got a read on you yet.
Picture if you could inject a book into your blood. That's basically what I'm doing here.
Yeah, you would be the expert on tinkering and whatnot more than I would be. Certainly, if you are able to enchant this, I have full confidence that you would be able to pull this off.
Well, while I've got you, there is something else I wanted to ask about, actually.
She looks at you expectantly.
You seem like you know a lot about the history of the lost city of Zubaldar, and I was just wondering if you had ever heard any rumors about an all-cure elixir, some sort of potion that could heal or maybe even bring people back from the dead or fix something that had gone wrong. It's just something I'm messing with in my spare time, something I'd like to be able to bring to the world if possible.
She's going to go ahead and do a quick history check. You see, she thinks about it.
I haven't heard of an all-cure elixir, but I can tell you this. I studied divine magic because it's a dying art in the mountain, but it was once a tradition. The clerics of Zubaldar were said to be the best. It's possible that there are divine secrets still out there. It's also possible that maybe it wasn't divine at all. Perhaps they just had access to some other way to heal people.
Thank you. I think that one of the reasons I was chosen to be a blade is to find this potion.
Again, these are old, old writings, stories about stories, so it is possible there are exaggerations, but in a world of magic, it would not be unheard of.
I owe it to a lot of people, and maybe just the world at large, to follow up on any and all leads.
I have reasons of wanting to find this as well, so perhaps we can help each other.
All right. Zerk does like an awkward like shoulder touch.
Yeah. It just doesn't register, and Grez just keeps staring forward.
Just we zone out looking
thinking,
at different walls.
Thinking on her own for a while. Yeah, you guys both just zone out for a while, thinking in your own head.
Great, thank you.
You guys zone out looking out the window and see flames start, fireballs start lighting up some of the empty houses.
Meanwhile, Henry is still attached to Zerk's hair, and Fia is fighting a book to learn fireball.
You guys both... You zoned out. You're, you know.
Huh? I wanna learn a freaking water spell, Fia.
Because I like fire. I am like a phoenix.
While all this chaos is going on, can I summon Shank over to me?
Yeah.
Hey.
All right, buddy. I just need you to do something for me, just to remind us, to remind the both of us that we gotta stick this one out. All right.
Right. All right.
I roll up my sleeve and I ask Shank to give me a stick and poke tattoo. of an anchor, and that says and do like a little ribbon here with a flourish, right? And you go third
God,
mates.
It's getting complicated.
Third mates under here.
Okay.
And actually, yeah. Okay. It
That's
shouldn't
a pretty
be that
good design.
Hard. Right. And you can use your shadow as the ink, all
right?
So we'll always, you know, you and I are stuck together no matter what, too.
All right. I'll try my best. The anchor seemed easy, but this is a little nerve-wracking. Henry, go ahead and give me a sleight of hand check for Shank.
Okay, it's fine line work, okay? So take your time.
Yeah,
hey, your time. Go slow.
Oh. Don't yell at me.
His hand's so shaky.
Oh, shit. I rolled a 19.
Hell yeah.
That's a 22.
22, damn. It looks quite good. Like, he's able to do a good anchor. And then as far as, like, the lettering, it's an untrained hand, but he just does a very neat, all caps, third mates. And
perfect.
For a stick and poke tattoo, it looks pretty good.
All right. Impromptu stick and poke. I love it. And that probably takes all of my HP away. So
Yeah, you pass out halfway through it.
Fia says, did someone say stick and poke? And turns around and accidentally lights up half the house.
Yeah, Shank will go ahead and do tattoos on everybody if they want it.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, no, I don't. My tattoos are very utilitarian. I have warding tattoos. I don't want to confuse the magic.
Okay, so just Zerk will get one?
Oh, Zerk's absolutely getting one.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Go ahead and give me a sleight of hand check for Shank.
Not bad. That's a 19.
Another good solid tattoo.
Okay, I lift up my bangs and say, put it under here.
Whoa.
You see Shag goes like,
and I also cast guidance to try to help him.
Please.
So dedicated to the bangs.
Please. You see Grez leans in and goes,
I
will assist you. This is highly inadvisable.
She went from not being sure if she wanted it to wanting it on the face.
Grez is going to go ahead and give the help action to Shank. And Fia
and
has
I guess
cast guidance.
Okay. And guidance is an extra d4?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who needs a fairy promise when you got stick and pokes?
That's a dirty 20.
Wow.
Thank God. Thank God for fucking advantage.
Shank, very nervously, but through the power of magic, is able to give you a competent anchor tattoo on your forehead underneath your bangs.
Just a little bit to the right, but under my bangs.
Phew.
So you guys all go to bed for the night. Recover all of your stuff back finally, all your spells, all your HP. You make do in some rubble here. You're actually able to find some like dusty blankets and stuff, whether or not it was things that covered tables or whatnot, like tablecloths and things like that. There were people who lived here at some point, so you're able to make some kind of makeshift sleeping areas. You all go to bed for the night. You wake up the next day, and you hear once again the dragon stomping around above head.
I'm up, fine.
And Grez goes, before we find whatever it is that was looking for me, we will have to deal with this dragon.
What do you think is the correct way to deal with it?
Can we present this ram helm, maybe?
Would that be okay, Fia?
We don't have to give it to him, just present...
Fia's just clinging to the horns.
I'm not taking it. I'm not taking it. It's your helmet. Don't run. Do not run away.
You see, Grez goes, you could give the helm. It might be an even greater showing to give the dragon Ingus himself. Gestures to the body.
Oh. Perfect. So we'll take the skin helm, the head helm. We can bring the body.
Let's not call it a skin helm.
Okay, yeah,
that's
sure.
The medical term, though.
Is it, though?
Yeah. He's a doctor. I'm just...
That's what Dr. Nebel always called it.
Huh.
Fia, do you have enough spell slots for a floating disc so we can roll this thing out?
Oh, yes, this is a ritual, so I can actually do it. If I have 10 minutes, I can present it. I'll make the floating disc look like a podium at the end of winning a sort of competition and float it up.
Oh, okay, very great. Cool. I'm going to put a last prize ribbon on this guy.
So I'll tell you guys how this is going to work when it comes to like giving an offering to a ghost or something like this. So essentially what you guys know from the Guardians of the Grove and from your past dealings with a ghost with Sadie Bellwater, it does help to injure the ghost. It almost like takes away some of its power, and then it's more open to whatever the offering is. That being said, it is definitely possible to just succeed outright. So I'm going to tell you just mechanically how it's going to work, and you guys decide kind of how you want to deal with it. If you make it an offer, it's going to be a DC 22 arcana or religion check to essentially try to dispel
arcana
it.
Arcana is my shit, bitch.
Yeah. So there is a world where you just pump up your first round to have this ritual work. And then there's another version where you start doing damage to it. So it's going to get -1 to the DC for each 10 damage that's done to it. So if you did 50 damage to it, it changes from a DC 22 to a DC 17 and so forth. So you can weaken it to the point where you can then banish it or help it ascend using kind of the components that you have.
Nice.
All right.
My instinct is that it is not worth using my spells on these moments.
Yeah, I think we definitely lead with the ritual and try and, you know, just get it to go peacefully if we can.
Yes, why not, right?
To help Fia out, I would like to cast Enhance Ability on her.
Ooh.
So what I do is I make like a brain-boosting smoothie to help her intelligence out. I do go to the corner and try to disguise the amount of grubs I'm putting into it. It's mostly grubs.
I peek around the corner and say, what about you makes you think you need to hide the grubs from me?
I'm sorry. It's just some of them can talk and it felt weird.
Help me.
I don't know if that one's a grub. That one seems like a rodent. That one's a lizard, maybe.
Mr. Zerk, I'll eat anything you put in a smoothie.
Oh, great. Zerk scrapes some mushrooms off the wall and just... plops him into the smoothie.
It's just like neon yellow mushrooms. So poisonous looking. Yeah, you make this intelligence fortifying drink. And what does that do for Fia?
I'm going to give Fia Fox's Cunning. The target has advantage on intelligence checks.
Nice. Sweet.
Sick. I am also going to cast Fortune's Favor on myself.
Great.
Oh, baby.
When I make an attack roll, an ability check, or a saving throw before the spell ends, which is within an hour, I can dismiss this spell on myself to roll an additional d20.
Oh.
So it's beyond advantage, I
believe. Got it. So it's almost like another chronal shift. Wow. Okay, so you guys are pretty stacked with your stuff here.
Yeah, I can't really do anything, but I'll give you a brief calf massage to kind of loosen up the...
Actually, Mr. Henry,
the muscle there.
You're such a soothing figure. Do you think that you could give me a little pep talk?
Oh, yeah, pep talk. I've never been called soothing before. I almost thought I was grating, but wow, that means a lot.
No,
okay.
You're a wonderful teacher. I am such a good swimmer now.
I think you were born a good swimmer. Like you were born a good runner. You're a natural born athlete. Don't you ever forget that. This is the pep talk now. No one has ever been born with more raw talent than you.
No, they haven't.
No, they have not. You could outthrow Josh Allen, okay?
Oh, my God. Don't take his name in
vain.
That's
right.
Josh Allen? I could outthrow Josh Allen?
You could outchuck Josh Allen, all right? You got a cannon for an arm.
And you're so damn fast, you could catch it yourself.
That's right, Shank.
He beats her chest.
Let's go get him, kids.
Let's go, Bills!
This is our year!
This is our year! This is Fia's year!
Okay, with the help of my doctor and my coach, I take on this beast!
She's just like an MMA fighter, but for books.
Yeah, you summon a disc and you plop this dead body in it. And then I
run out.
Way ahead of all of us.
Oh, there she goes.
You guys
Come on, Gress.
Begin to float out of the cellar.
Oh, before this happened, I did put some paper across the threshold of the house so Fia breaks through it like a football player running out onto the pitch.
You guys run through the paper. You're now in this abandoned house. One thing to keep in mind is if you guys don't sneak up on this thing, you're just going to have to roll initiative. So it could potentially fear you or fuck you up in some way that could stop you from doing the thing. So you might want some kind of contingency plan or figure out some way to stealth that basically allows Fia to go before this thing. So you guys get up in this abandoned house.
You know what I can do? You know what I can do? I think I don't have a concentration spell going, so I can use a protection from good and evil on myself so that he can't frighten me.
You see Grez is going to go ahead and cast Death Ward on Fia.
Damn.
Wow.
We are going into this peaceful option with a fucking artillery.
I love buffing my friends.
With good reason, you hear this dragon shouting,
"Your bid is over! I do not trust that you would have made any real change, even with your catchy slogans!"
Don't tell Hutar!
Don't tell Hutar! You should tell Hutar! Tell him that he's guilty!
So with that, Gress kind of looks to you guys and she goes, "Well, you're the horror hunters. How do we approach this?"
I think I'm good to just run out there.
Sweet.
Oh, before we go out, Zerk presses the button on his ring, reads an entire book in 2 minutes, and then gets a spell slot back.
Wow.
You see, Zerk just begins twitching. Seems like he's like on insane adrenaline.
He's on speed reading.
Fia, I get it. I get the rush.
It's actually quiet and contemplative for me, but okay.
Knowledge is inside me!
You see a book farm. Flapping again is with you guys, hasn't been with you guys in a minute, goes like, "Yes, I suppose reading is, you know, a bit of a rush.
I'm pregnant with lore!
Easy does it, buddy.
I whisper to Bookfar, I would never read you like that, just so you know.
Thank you so much, miss.
It looks uncomfortable for you. I would never.
Sweet. Guys, everybody right. Go ahead and roll initiative as you rush out into the ruins here with this dragon.
12 for Fia. Oof.
8.
I did not foresee this roll because I got a 4, but that's going to be a 7 total.
So you guys go out into the ruins, bringing the body of Ingus with you as an offering to the dragon.
Actually, I changed Tensor's floating disc to be a little platter.
A little platter. You bring it out. You exit this crumbling building, and you see in a flash this dragon pokes its head around the side of the house and goes,
"Trying to escape with your friend, are you?"
Everybody go ahead and give me wisdom saving throws. As it breathes its horrifying breath into like the mouth of this house as you guys are exiting it.
16.
18.
Ooh, 19 plus 3,
22. Damn, everybody passes. You guys still take half damage. You take 22 damage. So this thing, once again,
God, it's
turns into individual deep folk ghosts that like fly into you and they do damage to you, but you are not frightened by them. You are steeled by knowing that you are doing the right thing here. And then that is Fia's turn.
Okay.
All right.
I let this little disc hover up into the eyes of the dragon, and I say, "Revenge is a dish best served cold. However, what will actually make you happy? Just not being angry anymore. So maybe you don't need revenge." And then, and then I do a dance.
Good God.
Oh, her calves are so limber. Great work, Henry.
Thank you.
You do a dance as you cast this spell. Essentially, what you guys are able to do as blades that a normal person couldn't do is like a ritual that allows you to banish and to free these monsters instead of having to fight them down to 0 hit points. So, Fia...
But after I do my dance, though, I say something more sincere. And I say, okay, that was pageantry. But I want you to know that the people who have wronged me in my life, I have chosen to forgive because letting their anger live in me like a tumor is letting them continue to win. You have peace beyond this anger. I promise this for you.
Now Henry does a dance.
Henry's just quietly flossing in the background. Fia, go ahead and with all of your guys' buffs up. Actually, you do have to go ahead and roll concentration check for that 11 damage that it did on the jump.
Because she's got the mind sharpener.
Oh, yeah, she's got the mind sharpener, so she can
and
stop
And I don't
it.
Even need to use it she because I rolled it. Really well.
Fia, you keep your concentration. Go ahead and make your roll.
I will use my fortune's favor.
Okay.
To add another one.
All right.
And then I will chrono shift my fortune's favor.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Good God.
Yes, baby, 19! Took a little while to get there.
So what is the total?
Worth the journey.
Oh, 19 plus 7 plus 2.
Good God.
So 28.
Yeah. Yeah. 28 does it. You see this dragon kind of cranes its neck and gets down in your face, Fia, and goes,
"It is true that revenge will not bring back our dead, will not heal our wounds. And still, I hunger for justice."
And you see, dragon snakes its head around, goes over to the platter, and swallows the body of Ingus whole.
Even Damn. With the apple that I stuffed in his mouth?
Also with the apple that you stuffed in his mouth.
Okay.
And you see that the dragon begins to glow white. And would you like to banish this or kind of like help it ascend?
I would like to help it ascend. I would like to kind of like pet it like a angry animal that I am kind of trying to bring back to a place of peace. And if I can see the individuals distinct from each other.
Yeah. So as you go and you go to like touch this dragon, it's strange. You see from the outside, Fia's almost doing this motion like she's petting the dragon, and Fia you feel as if you're like embracing somebody by the hand, like you're doing a meaningful predator handshake, like somebody is like grabbing you and kind of pulling you in.
I go to pet and then I'm like just predator handshaking people one by one out of this dragon.
So you're pulled in. You guys see this dragon begins to glow white. And while keeping kind of the same shape of the dragon, you see the spirits of hundreds of deep folk begin like ascending, begin flying up and turning into like flashes of light before disappearing. And you see the dragon with like glowing white eyes starting to fade, looks around at you guys, looks a little bit more present now and less of like a paranoid frenzy, and goes, "I see now that you might wear their armor, but you are different than these scrappers. There is another here who is different, buried beneath the rubble."
"Long black hair?"
You see the dragon nods. "We discovered them deep within the mines. A small group of undead humanoids who looked like horrors but did not serve the Reaper. A council of us had met with them to learn more. But one among us was an informant to Hutar Gunnarbold. The scrappers rigged our cavern with explosives and caused a false cave-in, and slaughtered anyone who escaped through the tunnels. I do not know their reasons. Perhaps to bury the secret of the sentient horrors, perhaps to profit off raiding our village, or both. Horrors in the mines are bad for business."
"Who among you was the mole?"
"Was it that guy you ate?"
You see the dragon kind of licks their lips and goes,
"No, there is another."
See, takes a ghostly form, goes from being a ghost to being Craggle.
That fucking coward.
And then turns into a ghost again.
I guess we shouldn't let Craggle be Craggle.
You can never let Craggle be Craggle.
You know, lesson learned. Is she still here? Or did you eat her too?
She has escaped justice.
What justice would you wish for her?
You see Grez steps up and goes,
"I will take care of it. The deep folk will see to it. It is our justice to lay out."
And you see the dragon nods and looks comforted by this. And you see disappears, finishes ascending.
All right. Good game.
Wow. We all slap each other's butts.
That's so fucked up. I cannot believe I said Craggle rocks.
We didn't know. We didn't know Craggle sucks.
Gretz, whenever we find Craggle, I will take your lead. This is your decision to figure out how to handle this.
You can imagine that Craggle has probably long since kind of made her escape, since you guys like had a full rest and everything, and she ran in like the other direction. She's likely back at the crux by now.
I need to learn dream magic so I can beset her dreams.
You said that way too casually.
You see Grez go,
"Don't worry about Craggle. Once the rest of the deep folk find out about this, the crux will truly find out what is bad for business. Specifically, having their heads on a fucking pike."
Yes.
Whoa. Okay. All right.
Good game.
Don't need to foresee that. Good game.
Good game. And you see, she looks around and she goes, "Well, the ghost said there was someone under the rubble."
All right. Let's dig.
I can cast detect magic to try to find necromancy, but if it is not.
Yeah, Fia.
Nice.
Grez kind of is thinking about like what she can kind of use, but as soon as you mention detect magic, she nods and she kind of does like a divination spell that just amplifies kind of what you're doing. This detect magic, as you try to find necromancy, you sense some in a nearby pile of rubble where you can imagine at one time there was like a tunnel, and you sense something in the rubble there.
Okay, I point at the rubble. Now it is time to dig.
Henry, I think you're the strongest of us. Would it be okay if I made you a little stronger?
Fine. Hey, fine by me.
As he's saying that, I take the gun and switch it to enlarge mode, and I jab him right in the thyroid with it.
Wait.
Yeah, there's a giant, like,
Craggle,
syringe.
You have the gift of Craggle. You work with her?
I stole all that was good about Craggle.
the very few things.
Henry turns big.
Wow. Okay.
And yeah, you just see...
stretching my new tattoo.
Big Hank.
There's this pile of rubble here that looks like it was once a tunnel that was collapsed. Go ahead and give me an athletics check, and we'll say with advantage because these guys are helping you too.
All right, amazing.
Everybody runs over and starts digging.
25.
25.
Hell yeah. Thank God for advantage because I also rolled the one.
You guys see that there were some... you find some, like, remains. You find some, like, skeletal remains because it's been, like, a couple years since the destruction of Zelbaldar 3. So you find, like, some skeletal remains and stuff. Nothing, like, animated. Nothing, like, attacking you. So it's, like, a bit discouraging at first. But as you continue to go through... and I'll say you spend, like, a couple hours doing this. Like, you're trying to essentially, like, dig out this... entire tunnel here. So you've like displaced all these rocks and everything. Henry's in this like enlarged form and you guys are going through it.
While Henry does this, I pour myself a lemonade and throw my feet up and take one quick arcane recovery, then rejoin.
So she likes lemons sometimes, not in the water.
They're their own thing.
What? This is called lemonade? I spit it out. Citrus and dirty fruit.
You have to stop wasting our lemons. We need those to fight off scurvy. Right, Hank?
That's right. Or limes.
You guys dig through this rubble for a long, long time, and you eventually find a head. Not a skull, a head. There are patches of skin missing, revealing a kind of skull and muscle, as well as long, stringy black hair. If this person was just kind of a body sitting in the rubble, they would have deteriorated a long time ago, but this looks more like a zombie than a skeleton. And you see that as the dust and dirt is removed from around them, suddenly this person shakes awake. And you see, suddenly, her eyes open.
Hey, would you mind giving me a hand there, friendos? I've been in here a long time.
And that's where we'll end our session.
Oh, wow. Can't wait to make a new friend.
Oh, my goodness.
I like her already.
Yeah, this is great. And also, she doesn't have a body, so she can't hurt us. This is great.
She does have a body, probably. She's buried up to her neck
right
now.
She's just crushed by
rubble. Oh, she's buried. Oh,
yeah, she's buried. Yeah, you just...
That's the bud for the next episode, is unearthing our new pal.
Unearthing the rest of this creature.
Great.
Sweet. Thank you all so much for listening. You can listen to us chat more about this over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet.
Okay. All right.
It's a little delayed. Oh my gosh, she's still going. She's just going.
Fuck it, I'll sing. We
Holy
are.
Shit.
We
wow,
are.
Stop, everyone.
Oh, we're doing it. We're
no
singing.
More, no
okay.
more. No
we
more.
Are,
no
we
no.
We are.
Oh shit, I stopped, but we're singing. We.
Oh my god. Does anyone have anything they would like to plug?
Oh, actually, I really liked that we plugged things that we liked last week. And I'm going to plug The Fucking Expanse because I love that freaking TV show. First season, ooh, I liked it. Second season, holy shit, I loved it. I just finished third season. I mean,
I'm actually in
so
the middle of the first season of it right now. So I've got to.
Wait, you're watching it?
Well, is that your plug
too? Yeah.
You're the only person I know who's watching it.
I've watched up to episode 3.
Just get through the first season because I actually didn't think it was nearly as engaging as the rest
of
it.
Mm. All right, I'm on it.
Yeah,
I'm
once they introduce the Mars lady, it gets really good.
Great.
Yeah, freaking Bobby Draper. I freaking love her.
I'll plug, if we're doing plugs for stuff we liked, I'll plug The Mitchells vs. the Machines. It's an animated movie on Netflix, and I cried like 12 times during it, and it's gorgeous. Whoa. It's by the Spider-Verse team, so like the animation is incredible. It's a very sweet little story. It's so, so funny. Go watch it if you want like a nice family flick.
Check it out.
I do like things that make me cry. And also, I'll plug my brother and I's shop, Brothers of Halcyon. We just started making wallets, so check that out. Not a show. But a wallet.
You absolute hustler.
Every week you have a new side hustle.
Yeah, I'm a manufacturer.
He's all hustle all the time.
He's got so many hustle slots.
I'm reading Press Reset. It's about the games industry by Jason Schreier. It's so good. It's really good.
Shout out.
His first book was awesome, Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. You should check that out as well. He's a friend of
Jason
the show.
Rules.
Hi, Jason, if you're listening to this.
Hi, Jason.
Hey, buddy.
Jason. I would also love to... do a double dip into the plug pile and plug
away.
Our P.O. box, if that's okay.
Yay!
Got some fun stuff there. Let's see. Tavisha T. sent us hand-knit dice bags.
Yes.
They're very nice and soft, as well as a tiny little dice bag for my daughter, which is very cute. I'm going to fill it with dice and give it to her and just see what happens.
It'll
be
fine.
I'm not going to force her to play D&D.
Everyone, do not give your children dice until they're at least 6 months old.
I'll give her a dice that's bigger than her throat. That's the rule.
Yep.
There.
Let's see. I don't know who sent Murph and Emily kitty litter in a big bag of cat food.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
You.
No lie. How helpful that is.
Yeah.
My paycheck
so
goes into
cats.
Cat food.
I already gave it to all the coyotes in my backyard though. Yeah. So.
Devastating.
Brenna L. in Rome sent us a bunch of paintings based on the One Big Bed song. They're so pretty, and we're really, really happy we could help you through these turbulent times. So thank you so much, Brenna.
Aww.
Let's see. Lance G. sent us a nice note, and they also sent Spritel a little terrarium sculpture. Hold on.
Whoa.
What?
Sent Spritel a little terrarium sculpture made inside
That's
a plastic
sick.
Dice box.
Wow.
So now they'll always have a piece of grove wherever they go. It's really thoughtful.
Wherever they go.
Mike R. sent us beautifully crafted wooden dice trays with built-in camera holders so you can share your rolls over the internet. It's really awesome.
Oh, that'd be so nice. You got to distribute those.
Oh, yeah. I will send them over.
And I got to try and figure out how to make that work.
It's really cool. You just like plug in your phone and use it as a second camera so you can always see what the dice rolls are. It's really rad. And Beverly's one is made of a wood called Bubinga, which I thought was funny. Jeff S. sent us a bunch of DVDs, including Waterworld on Blu-ray. Thank you, Jeff. You spoil us.
Thank you. You guys keep it. I already have one, but that's awesome to hear.
Then Matthew B. sent us a Trash Queen possum sticker. It's very classy, and we appreciate it. That's going right on my notebook. Thank you so much, Matthew. If you would like to send us stuff, it's 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California, 90027. Thanks so much, y'all.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
You can follow us on various
Thank
social media that we may or may not use. At CH Murph is me, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Eaxford's Emily, and at Jake Horowitz is Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation.
It's the end of the show, everyone, and you know what that means. I am here to shout out our benevolent council of elders, starting with Brad D, Jeffrey S, Haldor Frostback, Steelbreaker, and Matt M. Acolytes of Sienna. They spend their days praying and maintaining the temple, but their main job is to bang pots and pans near Grez's face when she starts zoning out. Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Jai G, Zolo Dolo, and Dylan B. Deep folk ghosts who kinda liked being a huge reptile and are currently terrorizing the souls of Exodus as a radiant dragon with golden angel wings. Even the Reaper himself was forced to admit that it looks cool as hell. Schubert the Mushroom, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Andrew M., Beardman Dan, and Scott D., the inventors of the Enhance Ability Smoothie. It is rumored that these powerful herbalists are the last surviving students of Jamba, the legendary juice alchemist. Danny P., mixologist Michael McD., Victor T., Balnor's Boy, Andrew B., and Kevin S., members of the Craghelm Twins election campaign who are desperately trying to get a refund on the huge box of Don't Tell Hutar hats that they purchased. Justin I, Ragnar Fjordwind, TJM the Gnome Barbarian, Elena M, and Trelai the Cragbay, the Council of Artificers who first perfected the spell Refueling Ring. Their first successful experiment involved injecting Ragnar with an extremely long CVS receipt. Jared E., Austin Bonesaw MR, Daniel R., cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, and Octolich, healers from the lost city of Zelbadar, who perfected the all-cure elixir Zerk is seeking. Unfortunately, something got lost in translation, and the elixir is actually just Pepto-Bismol, which honestly Might be helpful considering how many hot dogs, potato skins, and worms the gang has eaten recently. Gage M. Richard X. Machina. Michael L. Sergio Salazar Salomon Zacharias De Sequani. And Trash the Traveler. Chef wizards who work for Eldermorn's hottest restaurant. Tensor's floating dish. Every meal the restaurant makes is flown out on a magical plate. Even the soup. Sir Carl. Jory S. Dana G. Azoth Shadows, Callum L. and Ryan, children who taught Zerk the words to the haunting Reaper lullaby that Fia requested he sing to her. The children later lured him into an open grave and beat the shit out of him. Jack L., Flawless Whale, Temporal, Sam L., Nicholas C., and Reese N.S., the scry spies, like a PI, but with scries. Bring them anything, a piece of fabric, a scrap of paper, a mysterious hair tie you found in the cup holder of your car, and they'll use it to scry on your loved ones who you think are cheating on you. Samuel L., Mike H., Martin P., a.k.a. Byron Murphy likes to drink curfew, Matthew E., Colton B., and Adam G., a pod of fearsome most dragons. Unlike the ethereal ghost dragon, they are so physically present, it actually warps space and time wherever they go. Megan S., Mateo C., Nabadger, Panama James, Cummins the Bard, and Adrian the Halfling Bard. Fairies associated with surfing and paddleboarding. You'd think they were chill, but actually they have the most curses per capita of any of the sea fairies. Dan, Nikki W., Grace G., Drew Nasty, Cece Lulu, and Jay. Zelbuldar, postcard painters. The highest, most noble job in all of Zelbuldar. Barnesonator, Michelle O., Timmy R., Jonathan W., the croc-wearing warrior, and Lucas B., a group of friends at a sleepover who have braided themselves into essentially a rat king but with braids instead of tails. Here's the thing, though. They're all watching a movie, and none of them has noticed yet. Aaron S., it's Kevin! Hogfishes above average hog, New York, and Stephen C. Dream wizards who can make a person dream anything they want to. Unfortunately, they tend to use this power to workshop their ideas for screenplays, which are always about a young dream wizard going to the big city to find love. KJ, Michael M., Raul N., Mike K., Maxwell C., and Karen J., a political ethics commission looking into the morality of politicians with active fairy promises on them running for office, and who have started a movement to keep fairy promises out of our politics. Ekathor 666, Nick W., Taylor A., Matthew R., and Esme M., a family of shallow folk. They are actually just deep folk who are really into their appearance. Nathan, Casimir the All-Knowing, Big Beardo the Mad, Eric McD, and Jack Mehoff. Sentient horrors who love going to the beach and burying each other in the hand. It's great practice for when their undead fortitude allows them to survive a cave-in only to be unearthed years later. Burly T., J. Dragonborn, Joro the Unapropro, Cody B., Liam D., and The Sandrean, a startup company who created technology to let you scry on your phone and keys so you always know where they are. As long as these inanimate objects fail their wisdom saves, you'll never lose them again. Ben A., Feldonis, Dave H., Koala Bear, Catherine S., and David K., Grez's school friends who frequently got beat up after she got them into fights, only to be too slow to help. Luckily, she's a cleric, so no harm, no foul. Plus, she always knew who had a crush on who. Christian S., Dustin S., Keith K., Connor F., Kyle H. the Time Walker, and Emilio D., an undead a cappella group who rose again as a ghost dragon to get revenge on everyone who didn't care about their a cappella group. So, everyone. Frankie Koala, Big Bad John, Aston S., Blair the Bug Blair Barbarian, Porkchop, and Chanel M. Some unfortunate tourists who were in Zelbuldar 3 the day it collapsed. They now wander the cave as ghosts trying to collect all the Zelbuldar postcards. Alice, Valacy Raptor, Minette F., Pat L., Achutha A., and Lauren H. Sentient grubs who will one day evolve to form a massive grub and swallow Zerk as revenge for turning them into smoothies. Elias Hawthorne, Maddie Y, Alex H, The Eldest Barry, Ryan S, and The Bone Duster. The mages behind the Untangle Braid cantrip. It's a very specialized spell for when you accidentally tie two of your friends together by the hair and need to safely unravel them. Joshua H, Robic Crisp, Idrassil, Brentley C, Micah B, and Paloops, the original creators of the all-cure elixir. Unfortunately, their stomachs hurt from all the late-night energy drinks they needed to finish, so they consumed it before they were able to record the formula. Carly Ann, Lori P, Spam Gaming the Not-So-Skilled Gamer, Connor Savage, Russell H, and Christopher J.O., Mist Wraiths, who were having dinner when Fia suddenly showed up in the middle of their dining room. She wasn't able to see it, but she was fully standing in their mashed potato bowl. Logan S., Leviathan, Demi A., BioQuirt 7, Kenny, and Remington CD. The Cellar Fellers just acquired an excellent L-shaped sofa and strung up some Christmas lights so the cellar's looking stellar. Amber K., Everett P., Trub Hop Dropper, Sydney T, Jesse DLR, the Element God, and Lindsay W. The Cella Fellas just wrangled a cozy rug and a projector so the Cella is looking Bella. Champ Wild, Valen, Sprite Pepsi, Carlin C, Anthony S, and Sally S. The Cellus Fellas. They don't know what it means to be a Fellas of the Cellus, but everyone knows they're a team and they will be Fellas for life and will represent their Cellus proudly. Tristan C, the Goose, Jake, Emily S, the new petty king of Outerboro, Sessie, and Matthew J. Crux politicians who are being primaried by two upstart scrappers with a really long campaign slogan. The only thing left for y'all to do is meet the third mates. We can revitalize your campaign. Script Scripper, Zane C, Michael S, the Bone Duster, Noah, and Wyatt B. Citizens of Eldermorn who actually broke a promise to Moria and are currently growing shells on their back. That said, it looks kind of cool, so no regrets. Estelle, Rogue Cree, Daniel N, Baron S, Sebastian's romance partner from the Baronies, and Mr. Dude Sky. The crew that runs a tattoo parlor where they specialize in removing stick and pokes that went awry. Estelle was salivating at the thought of all the cash Fia's botched forehead tattoo could bring in, but damn, Shank's steady hand held true. Conflicted DM, Justin LB, Connor P, Dandy, and Jennifer R. The Buffalo Bills' starting line. They won't let anyone touch our hero, Josh Allen, and they celebrate each win by chugging a pint of blue cheese. Go Bills! Clifton A., Reverend Chatterbones, Richard G., M. Barber, and Marcus P., writers of the Encyclopedia Eldemornica, 100 volumes of the written word that should be absorbed one word at a time. Wow, Zerk just syringed it straight into the vein. Jesus! Pup Kalish, Learns the Balance Druid, Dakota JP, Pagos V, and Tracy P. The crew that runs West Precinct's ritziest hair salon and are dealing with an influx of friends who want their hair braided into each other's. It's painful and inconvenient, but damn if Hank and Zerk didn't start a very cute trend. And that wraps it up for our sweet, special, salty little Council of Elders. We love you so much. Goodbye, my sweeties.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.